read, read books, books. Read, read books, books. Read, read books, books. Hold them in your hand, and you'll hippity hoppity clippity cloppity off to a different land.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. Mentioned this earlier. Normally on Tuesdays, we welcome independent booksellers in to talk about books that should be on our radar and things that a little gentle nudge, a little tap on the shoulder to say, hey, this is a really good book and it's out and you should be, maybe this is something you'd like to be on your radar. Well, on Tuesday, we were in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, and we were doing our show live from the stage of the Colonial Theater, and we were unable to do book picks, but we're contractually obligated, just because I like it, to have everybody. We're not gonna forget book picks for the week. So today we set aside time to welcome two dear friends to this program to tell us their picks and their book picks for the week. We welcome Susanna Hermans from the Oblong Books in Rhinebeck and Millerton. Good morning. Hello. How are you?
Hi, Joe. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. It's good to see you.
Likewise.
Yeah, it's really nice to, always nice to see you. And Lily Bartels from Open Door Bookstore and Gift Gallery in Schenectady, New York. A pleasure to see you as well. How are you?
I'm fine. Summer's passing too quickly, but I'm fine.
Yeah, it's rolling, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot going on. Can't believe that it's already the, what, 11th?
Let's not talk about it.
Okay, yeah. All right. Good plan, Susanna. Good plan. All right. We have a great list. You both have fantastic lists. Where would you like to begin?
I will start. Fabulous.
Okay.
Let's do it. So the first book I brought today is called How to Dodge a Cannonball by Dennard Dale. So he was new to me. It's his second book. His first book was short stories. And I was so quickly taken with this book. It is about a teenage boy during the Civil War, white boy, who is fighting for the Union Army. But he's not really fighting. He's a member of a squadron or whatever it's called. But he's really the flag twirler. He's just like a great flag twirler. So he gets separated from his group of companions. Sorry, I don't know military words. Can you tell? And then he gets captured by the Confederate Army. He manages to escape the Confederate Army and decides he's going to sneak into a black battalion and pretend that he, who looks quite white, is not. This is a incredible satire. I think, you know, it's sort of like Percival Everett's James meets Gary Steingart.
Oh.
Super, super brilliant. Lily, you were saying you'd read this as well.
I did, and I loved it. I feel like this is a really important new voice. And if you like Colson Whitehead, if you like James McBride, this is definitely up your alley. It's really a remarkable feat of imagination. I loved it.
Absolutely. And I would be surprised if this doesn't end up on some of the award nominee lists this fall.
How to Dodge a Cannonball by Dennard Dale. All right, Lily.
I'm going to start with a book called Ubach and Me, A Life of Love and Adventure with a French Mountain Dog by Cedric Sapandatour. Translated by Adriana Hunter. This is a really beautiful and heartfelt memoir about Cedric Sapandatour's life with a beloved dog. And this was an unexpected bestseller in France a couple of years ago. Now it's been translated into English, so we're lucky about that. Sapandatour is a former gym teacher and a mountain climber, and this book begins at a point where he has lost a beloved dog. Which, of course, left him heartbroken. Then he sees an ad in a newspaper for a litter of Burmese mountain dog puppies that are that are for sale. So,
and your life is forever changed.
Pretty much. So he goes, he makes this trip to a rural village to look at this litter. And as he says, you know, you don't really choose a dog. The dog chooses you. Well, in this case, it was literally true, because the instant they locked eyes, Ubach climbed over the other, his siblings, and that was that. And they bonded. It's pretty easy to train Ubach, but as he says, Ubach is really training him how to understand a different reality. And this is a quote: "I'll never tire of studying his vision of the world to remind myself that my own is just one of many options." They go on hikes together. They go up into the hills and explore. They create this incredible bond that brings them joy and adventure and fulfillment. They basically face the world together, and they hate to be apart. They love the mountains. They love nature and the natural world. And in many ways, they protect each other. Burmese mountain dogs in general do not have a very long life expectancy, but Ubach lived for 14 years. And obviously, Cedric's account of his death is very moving. And he says that going forward, with every dog he pets, he'll really be petting two, and that perhaps one of them will pass on a message, "Oh, my heart." It's a beautiful story about the healing power of unconditional love and the power of love to transform you.
Well, that is gorgeous, and the name of the book is Ubach and Me. All right, Susanna.
I also have a French bestseller on my pile. Antoine Lorraine, who is very well known in France and a huge, huge big author over there, has had a lot of stuff published here, and I've read a few of them, and I really loved this new one. It's called French Windows. It's a mystery. It's fairly short, which I always enjoy, and it's about a woman who's a photographer. She witnesses a murder and is sort of unable to work anymore, so she goes to a therapist to try to deal with this blockage, and he is having trouble cracking her. He decides to assign her a task, which is to look out the window of your building into the opposite building and write stories about people in the apartments that you see. And so what we get in this book is their discussion with each other, but then her stories as well. And you get to a point where you don't know who is manipulating who is the therapist, who is the patient. There are twists and turns. It's sort of a Parisian Rear Window. It is very good.
That sounds amazing. French Windows, and it's by Antoine Lorraine. All right. Lily.
Next up is a novel, a new novel called Atmosphere. You can see this fabulous jacket on the book by Taylor Jenkins Reid, one of my favorite writers.
Can I just say something about
this?
And I'm judging a book by its cover. I'll admit I'm doing what you're not supposed to do, is judge a book by its cover. But I have noticed now, and there have been articles in the Times about this, but there's like two different types of covers that are on every book. And now this is just a totally different, very cool cover that makes you stop and pick the book up and say, oh, this looks really good.
It truly is. When you look at this woman, you see determination and ambition, and you see reflected in her sunglasses a rocket ship taking off. And that's the world that this is going to be set in. So what I love about Taylor Jenkins Reid is that every book is immersed in a different world. So, for instance, Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, it's the world of old Hollywood glamour. Daisy Jones and the Six, 70s rock. Carrie Soto is back, set in the world of elite professional tennis. In this one, it's all about space and the space program. So the main character, Joan Goodwin, has always been obsessed with space, which is why she became an astrophysics professor. But her dream has always been to be an astronaut, which is at that time, early 80s, pretty unimaginable goal for a woman. But then NASA announces it's looking for female scientists to join the new space shuttle program. And on her second try, Joan is chosen. So she begins training with a group of both male and female candidates. Each of these characters has very different personalities. The women, they have a lot of camaraderie, but they're also competitive with each other. And Joan grows close to a woman named Vanessa, who becomes her trusted friend and her supportive ally, and then something more. They are very drawn to each other, and ultimately they become lovers, which, of course, they have to hide, not only because, you know, it's the 80s, but also because the program forbids, you know, intimate relationships among trainees. So the narrative actually opens on a mission disaster in 1984, and then it cuts back and forth between that event and Joan's journey through NASA and falling in love with Vanessa, the relationship between the two women. And that relationship is really at the heart of the book. However, it's an incredibly propulsive read. There's the drama, of course, of what's happening in Joan's personal life. And then toward the end of the book, there is this gripping race against the clock action of a catastrophe in space. I have to tell you, the last section of this story had me almost hyperventilating with the suspense. Literally, I know people always say up to the last page, but this literally, the ending does not come and it's not revealed to you until the very last page. And it's a perfect ending. And I'm not saying that I sobbed for 10 minutes after I read it, but I might have.
It's possible. The name of the book is Atmosphere, A Love Story by Taylor Jenkins Reid. It looks terrific. Okay, Susanna.
My next book is So Far Gone by Jess Walter. Jess is one of my favorite authors. I mean, I feel like I can count on maybe one hand the number of authors where I really try to read everything that they write. And that's just because of the nature of our work. It behooves us to read broadly and read new authors, which we love. But Jess is one that I can trust that it's going to be amazing. And this one is. He's best known for Beautiful Ruins probably 10 years ago now. But if you loved that book, come back around to Jess Walter and pick up this one. So this is about an older man who has, a couple of years ago, up and left his family behind, moved into the woods with no electricity, no internet. He had to get away from life. And he has a knock on his cabin door. He opens it, and outstanding there are his two grandchildren and a woman he doesn't know. And the woman says to him, your daughter has vanished. But she left a note that says, if she vanishes, bring her kids to her dad's. So this book takes us on a journey as this man tries to figure out what happened to his daughter, find her, and keep the kids safe from their father, who is a conspiracy theorist, militia member, dangerous person with dangerous ideas. That all said, this book is very funny.
Very funny.
You read this one, Joe?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I just you can't go wrong. So good.
Jess Walter is the name of the author. So Far Gone is the name of the book, and it's truly terrific and a great summer read. And while it has some relationship to what's happening in our world, it is still an escape, which is nice as well. Lily.
Nonfiction, A Marriage at Sea, A True Story of Love, Obsession, and Shipwreck by Sophie Elmhurst. This is the true story of a British couple, Morris and Marilyn Bailey, who in the 1960s were afraid that life was passing them by, so they decided to quit their jobs, sell their house, all their possessions, buy a boat, and sail away, and so they did. Morris started studying navigation. Marilyn, the more practical of the two, compiled their lists of provisions. And in June 1972, they set out to sail around the globe to New Zealand. It did not go well. For one thing, Morris insisted on having no radio transmitter aboard to, get this, preserve their freedom from outside interference. They wanted to be, he wanted them to be, you know, absolutely self-sufficient. This turned out to be a catastrophic decision when, after a year of mostly uneventful sailing, a whale collided with their boat and sank it. So then the two of them spent 117 days drifting in the middle of the Pacific on a tiny rubber raft, just struggling for ways to survive physically, but also struggling for ways to get along with each other under, you know, these very extreme conditions. And needless to say, their marriage, their relationship was really put to the test, because when you're in that sort of a situation, you really get worn down to your essence. And if there's like major differences in those essences, hold on to your hats. They nearly starved to death. They watched a total of 7 ships pass them by without seeing them. But then they were rescued almost by accident by a South Korean fishing boat. It's just a riveting tale of survival. And Sophie Elmhurst does a beautiful job of bringing these two very different people alive on the page. And you're really immersed in this extraordinary experience.
It sounds terrific. It is called A Marriage at Sea. Susanna.
So the rest of my books are young adult. I think it is so important to keep your teens reading this summer.
Absolutely.
There are some really fantastic books out there. These are all escapist books that I've brought today. And, you know, ditch the phone, grab a book, take it to the beach, take it to wherever you're going, put it in your bag, and keep reading all summer long. So the first one is Codebreaker by Jay Martell. It comes out in a couple weeks, almost out. And this, I'm calling this like Dan Brown or National Treasure for teens. It is so thrilling. It is about a young woman, lives in Washington, D.C., thinks her parents are totally normal people, until one day government agents break into her house, kill her mother, and are trying to get back some sort of information that they think her father has stolen from them. He is on the run. She is left in the wake, not knowing what's going on. She gets a message from her father that sends her on a treasure hunt to try to solve what is happening. It is so much fun. There are codes you can crack yourself in the book, which is great, and also has like a nice anti-authoritarian kind of theme going on underneath. I absolutely love this one.
Very cool. It is Codebreaker by Jay Martell and YA book, and good stuff. All right, lovely.
Broken Country by Claire Leslie Hall. I can't speak enough about this. I have to gush. It is just a gorgeously written book that combines family drama, a mystery, a tragedy, and most especially what happens when long-held secrets come to light, and it all culminates in a stunning ending. It's a very evocative and character-driven novel. It's set in a small farming village in southwestern England, where Gabriel Wolfe and a young woman named Beth fall in love during the summer of 1955. He breaks her heart. He was her first love. It was very passionate. But nevertheless, she goes on to have a happy marriage with a very kind sheep farmer named Frank, and Gabriel marries an American woman. So in 1968, after he's divorced his wife, Gabriel comes back to the village with his young son, Leo, who reminds Beth of her and Frank's son, Bobby, who has died in a tragic accident on the farm. She begins to get drawn into Gabriel and Leo's life, and that will have, it will trigger events that are going to have profound impact on their lives, the lives of their families, and ultimately the entire village community. I could not put this book down, both because I was so invested in the characters, but also it reads like it has the pacing and the twists of a thriller. I don't know. It's just a terrific read. And, it's the sort of book where I'm still thinking about these characters. And, you know, and I finished the book 2 weeks ago, and they're still on my mind.
Broken Country by Claire Leslie Hall, if I have that correctly. Susanna.
My next book is Kill Creatures by Rory Power. This is for your teens who like things that are a little creepy or horror. This is about a girl named Nan. And 1 year before the book begins, she was out hiking in the canyons with her three best friends, and they all vanished without a trace that day. So 1 year has passed. It's the exact anniversary of that day. And one of the girls shows up, seemingly unharmed, as if nothing has happened. But Nan has a secret. And the secret is that Nan killed her friends, all three of them.
Oh.
So what is this girl doing back here?
Yeah.
Ooh, so creepy, so spooky. That's a book for those kids.
Wow, that's a lot. Kill Creatures by Rory Power. All right. Lily.
Next book up. Beneath Our Feet, Everyday Discoveries Reshaping History by Michael Lewis and Ian Richardson. Lewis and Richardson both work for the British Museum, and they wanted to write this book to celebrate the fact that in Great Britain, every day new discoveries are being unearthed, not by expert archaeologists, but by everyday people who are hobbyists or metal detectorists and, you know, often even gardeners are digging things up in their garden. There's a lot of history underground in England. So you've got this growing public involvement in England's past. Some of the finds seem unremarkable at first. You've got coins, jewelry, toys, bits of pottery. But these two authors describe how even from these pieces emerge a fuller picture of how earlier generations lived, how they ate, how they played, how they fought, how they died. There's a brief summary at the beginning of each chapter that sort of sets the era or the time period where each of the items are from. But the focus really is on the objects themselves. And the book is just, look at this cover. It's, of course, our listeners can't hear, but it's just beautiful. It's got it's hundreds of these gorgeous photographs. It's actually mesmerizing. I picked it up. I thought I was just going to browse through it. Forget it. I'm up at 1 o'clock in the morning. But it is gorgeously illustrated, and it gives you this spectacular overview of extraordinary finds that are being dug up by ordinary people. Interestingly, while some of these finds have been sold for like huge amounts of money, Great Britain has a law, a treasure law, where all precious metals and anything that comes under the heading of treasure must be donated to the nation. So.
It is Beneath Our Feet, Everyday Discovery, Shaping History by Michael Lewis and Ian Richardson. Okay, Susanna.
My last book is Best of All Worlds by Kenneth Oppel. This book is about a teenage boy who is not thrilled to be going to spend the weekend at the lake house with his dad and his pregnant stepmom, but he'll make the best of it. He misses his girlfriend, but okay, they're going to the lake. They go to bed on Friday night. They wake up on Saturday morning, and the cabin has been moved. The lake is gone. They're in a completely different place than they were before.
I think it's called the Twilight Zone.
They don't know what's going on. Of course,
the girlfriend did it.
They set off to explore the boundaries of this place that they're in and discover there's a point at which after several miles of hiking, they can no longer move beyond that point. 3 years pass. A child is born. Of course, she was pregnant when they got there. 3 years pass, and all of a sudden, another cabin appears next to theirs with another family in it. And at first, this seems like it could be a good thing. They're lonely. But maybe it's not. This book is so good. Any reader, whether you're into realistic fiction or fantasy or science fiction, will devour the story. The pacing is incredible. And I don't know if there's going to be a second book, but I really hope so.
Best of All Worlds by Kenneth Oppel. Okay, finally.
I'm going to end with a book called Angelica, For Love and Country in a Time of Revolution by Molly Beer. This is a view of the Revolutionary War era through the eyes of Angelica Schuyler Church, who, as we know, was Alexander Hamilton's sister-in-law, and we know that how? Through the musical Hamilton. But she was also a woman of significant influence herself. And of course, the Schuyler family has deep roots here in Albany, and they're an integral part of our founding history. She was born in 1756, the oldest of eight children of Philip Schuyler, who became a general in the Revolutionary War, and his wife, Catherine Van Rensselaer. She was 19 when the colonies declared independence, and her father became a commander of the Continental Army. And their home right here in Albany, which you can still visit, became a meeting place for the leaders of the revolution. She herself upended her life by eloping with a man of no means. And, of course, this was a huge scandal and very disappointing to her family. And this is a man who had changed his name from Church to Carter because he had escaped England after, he went bankrupt and he was trying to escape his debts. He had no family connections, nothing. But he eventually became affluent by supplying both the Americans and the French. Anyway, so Angelica moved in the same circles she was born into, in Boston, in Paris, in London. She was deeply interested in politics. She was, by all accounts, charming. She was opinionated. She was well-read, and she was friends with, the likes of George Washington and Lafayette. Later, she became close with both Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson when they were all in Paris. the research on this book is incredible, and she creates a very vivid portrait of Angelica from Angelica's letters and also other primary sources, and she just paints this picture of a incredible woman who was shrewd and observant and who used her connections and her influence throughout her life. She was truly a force to be reckoned with.
Molly Beer is the author of Angelica, and that makes up our list of great book picks from our two wonderful independent booksellers. Somebody has an anniversary to talk about.
So we are so excited to be celebrating our 50th anniversary this year.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We're going to have a big party, and you all should come. It is on August 9th, Saturday, August 9th in Millerton. It's going to be a birthday bash block party with live music and food trucks and all kinds of fun stuff. It's from 11 to 4, and everyone is invited to come celebrate with us.
Say the date again.
August 9th.
Okay, thanks.
August 9th, and it's at Millerton, 11 to 4, and it's oblongbooks.com, and you can find out more information about it. Well, congratulations. It's no, I told you this in person, but I'll say this on the air, even though we're out of time. But I was just in that Millerton store, and I just spent like the whole afternoon there. That is the greatest store.
Aww,
oh my
God,
that is just so much fun. I did so much damage, and that it was absolutely great. Well, you can find out more by going to oblongbooks.com. You can find out more about Open Door by going to opendoor-bookstore.com. You can also go to our website, wamc.org/roundtable, where all of the lists are housed. You're wonderful. Thank you very much. Have a beautiful weekend.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you,
too.
Very much.